Rebirth is essentially a process where we are letting go of the old and we are being invited to expand into the new. The rebirth process can be very challenging. There's resistance, confusion, uncertainty, fear. That's a normal part of the process because it is really scary to let go. The same things that once comforted or motivated us or made us feel connected no longer does. This could be your career, your relationships, your eating habits. This could be your mindset, your day-to-day activities, creativity. You're noticing they're not working for you the same way they used to. This can be frightening and confronting because it's like the thing that was most normal doesn't give you the same feeling that it used to. Before I started the healing journey, I didn't know what sacred rebirth was. I just thought, this is a shit show. I'm going through a really tough time. Rebirths have happened to me several times in my life. I've experienced this a lot around relationships and a career. I studied economics. I went into banking. I was in tech for 10 years and I became a craniosacral therapist. I worked with plant medicine, psychedelics, and that journey led me into somatic, which then led me into the trauma field and then took me into the energetics of trauma and doing distance healing and alchemy, womb alchemy. It's been a journey of many, many deaths, deaths of myself. I don't want to give you guys any illusions that these deaths have been glamorous. These deaths have required me to take a leap into the unknown and challenge my need for comfort. That's the hardest thing to do because we're wired for stability. For me to know where I was going is the most important thing. And it still is important for me. I can't pretend that I'm a complete free spirit where I don't really mind what happens where I am next year. Of course, it matters to me. I have a growth mindset. And I have dreams and ambitions. We need to balance, surrender, free-spirited with our brain, with our nervous systems that are wired to function in this world. Some of the things that we can find ourselves saying when we are going through a rebirth are, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know what's right for me. I don't know how to move forward. I have an awareness that I can't keep doing what I'm doing before, but I don't really know how to move into the space that I'm being called into. We're here to open up to something new, and we can't do that if we're still stuck in the old. It's painful on so many levels, especially psychologically. Think about the baby that's in the birth canal. We've all been through that process. So, at some levels, imprinted, we are imprinted by the birth canal. And the birth canal is that kind of gray area in between death and rebirth. If we don't make it through the birth canal, we die. If we do make it through the birth canal, we're rebirthed. The same thing happens to our nervous systems when we're going through rebirth. We go through that excruciating contraction, expansion, heart rate rises. At a nervous system level, there is an activation. It's an activation and then a settling, and an activation and a settling. And it goes on and on and on. We can put our focus entirely on the contraction, which makes us contract more. When we contract, we close ourselves off to the rebirthing process. We close ourselves off because we're so overwhelmed by what contraction is doing to us that we hold and we grip and we stay in there. And it's just like a little baby that's yet to be born. It's feeling all these contractions and its nervous system is becoming activated and its sympathetic nervous system is becoming activated and it's going through fear responses. It's waiting for the soothing and the expansion to release the fear to move to the next stage of rebirth. It can lead to physical responses, sensations, etc. And those are typical of the fight or flight response. How this affects us energetically is we're surrounded by all these structures in our field. These structures will be familiar to us because we've leaned on them and we've created them. And then we've leaned on them again because we've created them. So we interact with these structures in our field. And they hold particular vibrations, belief systems, patterns. We believe that this is who we are. They're familiar. They lend to us our identity. When we're in the rebirth process, we're coming into these structures energetically. We're feeling them and they feel limiting. How do you feel limited in your own field? Vibrationally, typically, you start to approach the structure, and rather than opening like it used to, it either opens in a different way or it stays at the level. It stays. So you can't open those fractals even more. You can't lean in further because those structures are now outdated. They require you to either dissolve them or approach them in a different way. So you have a different relational dynamic energetically. This is really, really challenging. This is often why we end up feeling stuck. These structures can be individual, can be relational, can be collective. The more we are working for collective good, the more collective structures we have to transmute. So this process of engaging and then interrupting the structures, it challenges us to redefine what we believe is possible. We're living in a time where collective structures are being challenged at huge levels very quickly. The financial system, the economic system, the health system, the technological landscape, it's all being moved and challenged. That moves and challenges us. We'll have our own personal stories and we'll have our own personal narratives around that. And we'll also be partaking and participating unconsciously in the bigger structural changes that are taking place in our collective consciousness. Now, how do you keep something open when you don't know what it is and you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what it feels like and you don't know what it's like to be there, but you just know there's something new on the horizon? It can be very challenging. It can be very uncertain, and it can feel very abstract and vague because you're essentially trying to make sense of something that isn't fully formed. Look at nature. I have an apple tree in my garden, and this is an analogy. You guys know I love my analogies. I have this beautiful, very old apple tree in my garden. Some summers she blossoms, some summers she doesn't. She's old, she's moody as hell. She's taught me a lot, this tree. She's been with me through some really deep times of despair, and now she's like this old, ancient, her own stream of consciousness. I watch her and learn from her. Recently, my gardener said to me, "We got to cut her right back. All her branches had become entangled." And I was like, "Okay, but don't cut too much." And of course, he absolutely butchered her. She was naked. This beautiful apple tree was naked for 8 months. And I thought, is she ever going to grow back? Is she going to die? I was really disheartened because I didn't know what was going to happen to her. Then I said, "Okay, what if I just trust her to do what she wants to do? If she dies, she dies. If she reblossoms, provides fruit, she blossoms." I sat in that space for a few weeks, and then buds started to appear. Tiny little buds. I watched these little buds. And in the process of watching the buds, I realized I don't know what that bud is going to look like. I don't know what that leaf is going to look like. I don't know what that apple is going to look like. I don't think she knows either. But somehow she's still growing. Now she is healthy, covered in healthy branches, bright green, and blossom is starting to appear. And she's very happy, self-assured, and quite beautiful, really. This wonderful English apple tree is now blooming through the uncertainty. She didn't stop and look at each bud and say, "Oh, what are you going to look like though? But how do I know that you're going to be healthy though? How do I know whether to nurture you? Because I don't know whether you're going to survive the storms." She didn't stop and analyze. She just kept growing. And here she is. She's alive again. And so that is an analogy for our rebirth process. We don't know what we're building. We don't know what we're creating. We don't know what we're being called to create or what's being created through us. When we're rebirthing, we don't know. The biggest rebirths happen in the most uncomfortable areas. The things that you treasure the most, the things that you hold are most important for your stability. And it could be your relationship with your partner, it could be your career, it could be your children. All these levels of change require us to let go. They're not easy to navigate. And we can sometimes hold ourselves back because we're busy trying to figure out what it all looks like, what this bud looks like. Will it turn into an apple? We've got brains that are different from trees. We're here in a human consciousness to learn from nature, symbiotic experience. So we need to accept that that's part of being human, first of all. And that when we arrive in that place, that birth canal, that place where the old is dying, the old no longer works, the familiar is no longer comfortable, the familiar is uncomfortable, the familiar is not our future. That's when we need to start getting involved in the rebirth process. And I'm one for always trying to skip the rebirth process and get straight to the rebirth, right? Because I don't like being in the birth canal. Nobody likes being in the birth canal. It's a tunnel, right? You'll hear people who talk about depression, PTSD, and you'll hear them talk about the dark tunnel, right? I've been there. I'm sure some of you guys have been there. The tunnel is not just an analogy, it's a structure in the collective heart field. We go in to this tunnel and we have no idea how we're going to come out of it. I've worked with clients who've been in this tunnel for so many years. They've gone through everything that a human can possibly go through in terms of pain. They've scraped all the edges of this tunnel and they've experienced so much of life's lessons, hard lessons, and yet they haven't got through the end to the end. When you can identify, like I help them identify where they are in the journey and what they need to do to get to the other side, that's when they start seeing the light. Sometimes it's for the first time in 40 years that they've ever seen the light of their true potential and their true journey and their true purpose. This is not a conceptual, I see the light. This is a embodied, I feel the light. I feel where I'm being taken. And so navigating the tunnel, staying in the tunnel, but holding an awareness that there has to be more. Life is not just a dark tunnel. There has to be more. That is what gets us to keep going. If we go too slowly, we end up living in the tunnel. We end up living in the birth canal. And then what happens? We get induced, right? We get sucked out. We get pushed out with such a force. We then have to spend time recovering because we were literally refusing. We were clinging to the tunnel, refusing to leave. When we embrace the contraction, the expansion, and we go with this ebb and flow, and we go, all right, I accept. I'm talking from real lived experience, accepting every day there's going to be contraction, expansion, and the contraction is going to bring up all these structures for you to look at. And then the expansion is going to bring up all these horizons of opportunity and potential and visionary experiences. Accepting that every day this is going to happen, taking support, talking about your process, sharing it with people who understand you and understand what you're going through because they have birthed big things in their life. They know what this feels like. They can hold the light of awareness for you. Hold the light of awareness. I see you. I see where you're going. Surround yourself with supportive people. That's why community and tribal community is really, really important. Start to use the support you have here to further yourself in life, to fulfill your dream. Talk to people around you about it. I was a sucker for isolating myself and going through rebirth processes on my own because I didn't have spiritual people around me and I didn't know how to communicate what I was going through in a way that would make sense to someone who wasn't necessarily spiritually inclined. So please share your experiences. The more abstract and the more confusing and the more bizarre and the more disturbing, the more you need to talk about it. Because sitting there trying to figure it out on your own, it builds up this pressure cooker, and you're building, 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 and the pressure's building, right? You need to allow yourself to let that pressure out sometimes and talk to people, even if it doesn't get you from A to B, it's just a expression of where you are right now. And you might find actually that everyone is in this process to some degree. It's very refreshing and supportive to be able to communicate where you're at and for someone to go, oh, that's big. I can see what you're going through. Do you need anything? Or I went through something really similar and this is how I got through it. We have these horizons that open in our field. We're busy contracting, expanding, contracting, expanding. What happens in those contractions, as I said, is the fear is coming up. The fear is coming up and inviting us to build a new relationship with it. The internal narrative that we hold for ourselves is really important because when fear comes up, if we're always used to shaming ourselves and blaming ourselves, which is very common when we've had that experience in childhood, where whenever we've been vulnerable or been in a place of need, we've been shamed, blamed, punished, shut down, unsupported, or ignored, whatever the dynamics have been in our original family system, we ingest that and we become used to that. And we do that to ourselves, and we experience the world doing it to us. We need to learn to normalize it. When we come into that place where we're being invited to de develop a different relationship with the fear, i.e., what does that actually mean, right? From my experience, what it actually means is sensations coming through the body, and we've interpreted those sensations at a certain level of consciousness. People who are at a certain level of consciousness will interpret physical sensations and physical pain as, I'm in physical pain, that's it. My body is doing something to me that I don't like, and I need to get rid of the pain. Someone who is at another spectrum of consciousness will go, oh, this physical pain in my body, pain is holding a message for me about what I'm doing to myself, how I'm holding my own fear and restriction and constriction, and it's teaching me how to expand. It's a mirror to my own level of consciousness. Therefore, I have an opportunity to go in and to start opening up, learning how to develop new narratives through embodied experience is central to how we embrace our rebirth and create things that are bigger than us. The pain and the contraction that we might feel, or the weird, ugly sensations that we might feel, instead of feeling like a punishment, they actually feel like a wise, benevolent experience that's inviting us into healing and growth. We can either feel punished and be in a victim mindset, or we can feel invited to grow. Most of the time, we're oscillating between the two, momentarily feeling punished by it, realizing we're not changing anything by holding that mindset, and then moving into, okay, well, what can I do about it? What's it trying to teach me about myself? Trying to stay in the middle, in our midline, is really important. It's trying to stay in an expanded state of awareness, centered expanded state of awareness will help because we can start to build narratives that are more supportive. So when we feel something in our body and we don't like the way it feels, whether it's physical pain, tension, restriction, stuckness, blocks, whether it's ugly sensations, strong emotions, instead of relating to it as something to shut down, we have a different relationship. The second step is relating to uncertainty. Because as we're going through rebirth, as I said, we don't know what we're creating. It's been created through us. Our job is to hold the uncertainty, develop stillness within what's moving, and to allow what needs to emerge to emerge. But if we're always triggered by uncertainty, these structures are moving and we keep getting triggered, so we keep playing into the uncertainty. And I've been doing this a lot lately. I want total certainty over where I'm going and what I'm doing. So when the uncertainty comes up, I keep trying to fight it, keep trying to turn it into something else. And the uncertainty is like, no. You can't know. You will not know. You have to stay here with this and feel it. And when you start to feel into uncertainty, you start to A, see all the things that you need to heal. You start to B, go into really old traumas and old patterns from your ancestry, from your childhood, from what your parents have been through. It brings up a lot because uncertainty is an inevitability of life, right? Just as we breathe. We're breathing is always a moment of uncertainty, right? We're in that pause. We haven't taken the breath. We haven't exhaled. We haven't inhaled and we haven't exhaled. We're always in uncertainty. By building an acceptance of the natural and inherent omnipresence of uncertainty in our lives, in our relationships, in our careers, in our bodies, in our creativity, we accept the uncertainty. When we start to accept the uncertainty, it becomes less scary. And it becomes like this tantalizing little sensation of possibility. It's tantalizing. We don't sit with uncertainty for one day and suddenly it completely transforms into this beautiful horizon of like miraculous opportunity. It doesn't. It's little, small fractals that start to open. And the bigger your vision, the more you're committed to creating something really big at a collective level, the more you're going to get these tiny little fragments that kind of flutter in your field and they go, are you willing to come in here and expand this? So we go in a little bit each day and we sit in it. When we go in, what are we trying to find? We're trying to find the ability to hold the light in the dark at the specific frequency we need to hold it to allow that fractal to slightly open up. Taking small steps in what you are doing towards the bigger goal is really key. We can't just sit there and meditate this and expect it to all happen. If I just sit in uncertainty every day and I just sit and open up fractals in my field, blah, 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 then I'm just going to be able, like everything's just going to arrive on my doorstep. Personally, that's never been my experience. If that's been your experience, please share. how on earth you're doing that. I've always had the experience that I need to actually follow through with action. I need to wake up in the morning and I need to function in this human form. We get used to taking aligned action and sitting with uncertainty and taking small steps in the uncertain landscape, taking small steps that don't feel like huge gambles, but feel nurturing. Sometimes this can be challenging because we're taking such small steps. We feel like I'm taking such small steps, feel like I'm going nowhere. And I feel like I'm never going to rebirth this because everything's like incremental, everything's so small and it's getting tiring and tedious. What do we need to do then? What I find is when I'm getting into that mindset, I'm not enjoying the process. I've lost the capacity to enjoy those small steps. Now, if I can't enjoy those small steps of the journey, how am I going to enjoy the big fruit at the end? You can't, because the big fruit is a combination of small seeds, is a combination of tiny biological processes, is a combination of constant transmutation. How does an apple grow on a tree? Transmutation of light into mass, bridging heaven on earth. Whether it's storming out there, whether it's snowing out there, whether it's raining, whether someone tries to chop your branches off, it's still going. Opening up to enjoy those tiny processes is a big thing that I'm teaching myself to do because I'm a lover of big quantum leaps, big things, take on a lot more than you can chew, and you're like holding this big apple pie. I've always been greedy, right? It's just like a nature, like we all have certain characteristics. I've been like that since I was a kid, right? I'd just take off more than I could chew and dive in. I've had to train myself to balance that big visionary nature with the ability to do small incremental things on a regular basis and find the joy in them, not just wait for them to be over to get the prize. And as we learn to do that, enjoy the journey, which sounds really cliche, but when we start to do that more, with more regular touch points with the frequency of what we're really seeking to embody. The more we have touch points, the more we have familiarity. The more we have familiarity, the more we can feel of it. The more we can feel of it, the more we can embody it. And the more we can embody it, the more we can create it. So it's a chain process. If you're looking to create something, but you haven't broken it down into all these incremental processes and you haven't been willing to go, okay, I'm going to enjoy the journey of each and really, I'm going to live it. See if you can really try to break it down and live each part of the journey. Because by doing that, you're actually paving the way for you to rebirth into that frequency that you're looking to be in. You're giving yourself probably a better chance of doing it and getting there and having enjoyed the journey than either doing nothing, but just sitting and worrying and complaining or moaning about why you're not where you want to be. We're always in this rebirth process. What happens when we get through it? When we've navigated the fear, we've navigated the uncertainty, and we've processed what we need to process about what it's showing us about ourselves, where we have our own limitations, where we believe that we're really held back by something. When we keep at it and we keep going through that process and we don't give up on ourselves, we eventually arrive in a whole new landscape. And it may look like what we wanted. It may look like something slightly different. That's when we can go, oh, and it could be in a few years' time. Wow, now I know why I had to go on that journey. Because to be here took a lot of work. It took a lot of transmutation of density to light, of rotten belief systems to self-empowerment, of victim mentality to staying in our divine power. And creative life force, it takes a lot. When we are there, and then we look back and go, wow, look, like this is what it's taken for me to get there. We really feel that sense of who we are. And then what happens? Okay, we know who we are. We've experienced our power. Wonderful. And then I'm afraid to say, we have expanded our consciousness. And spirit will give us another opportunity to go through that whole process all over again. Will it be easier next time? My experience is no, not necessarily easier next time. Are we better equipped to deal with the difficulties Always. We are never given a challenge that is too big for us as we go through more and more rebirths. And I think we have a big identity rebirth like every 7 years. Our whole body renews itself every 7 years at a cellular level. We go through these evolutionary processes like every 7 years. Developmentally and psychologically, the brain is also going through those same processes every 7 years. When we learn how to navigate and like ride the ship through the waters, knowing that we are the ocean, we are the waters, and we are the tides that are going to come and like try and tip the ship over, and we are the captain, and we are the terrified passengers, and we are the tourists that are sunbathing on top of the cruise ship, loving life. We are all of it. The more we can stay in that place, that centered place where we go, okay, I am everything. I'm literally creating this whole experience right now for myself. I'm willing to go through the journey of healing, of growing, of facing fears, to rebirth into who and what I truly am. The more we have the tools, spiritually and somatically, to get through the challenges that are coming with the inevitable process of rebirthing. Rebirths don't get any easier. I'm going to tell you that. My experience, they get much harder, more challenging, more excruciating. But in the back of your head, you're like, I've been here before. I've done this before. I can do it again. I may need to learn some new tools. I may need to challenge some of my old patterns, mindsets, fears, self-limitations. But I've done it before, so I'll do it again. That's what you've got to keep reminding yourself. The second thing to remind yourself if you're going through rebirth is you're never going to know where you're going. It would not be a rebirth if spirit came and said, here you are. This is what your relationship's going to look like in 5 years' time. This is what your marriage is going to look like in 5 years' time. This is how your children are going to be in 5 years' time. This is where your career is going to be in 5 years' time. Here's everything laid out for you. There you go. You're like, boring. You can't grow from that. You can't learn from that. I've had to really challenge my mindset because when I have a vision, I'm like immediately going to the steps to create that vision and execute it. So I have the vision, believe in the vision, and then I'm like building all these bridges and routes into that. But I've noticed the bigger the vision gets, the harder it is to really know. When you go for these big visionary goals and dreams, trust me, that will bring up a lot. Let spirit guide your internal narrative every day. Hold the narratives that are healthy and positive and not the narratives that are self-limiting. But don't ignore the self-limiting narratives and spiritually bypass it all and be like, oh, well, I'm just going to manifest it all and there's never going to be any problems because I'm just going to sit and manifest and it's all going to come to me. I don't have to actually do anything or know anything or improve my skills, improve my knowledge. I don't have to invest in any of my own learnings, etc. It's just going to happen. And then, 3 years later, you're still waiting for this miracle to happen. I believe that we need to balance the masculine nature of doing direction, clarity, aligned action with feminine, nurturing, openness, receptivity, creativity, visionary. We need both. When we're looking to receive something bigger than what we've been used to, we have to create space internally for it. If we have no space because there's unresolved trauma, unresolved emotion, there's physical tension, physical pain, physical contraction, we've got chronic health issues, we've got a lot of self-limiting beliefs. What will happen is that we keep coming up against them and they take space. Their structures, they're in the field and they move. And we're like, we want this big thing, we want this big landscape, but we can't get into it because we've got all these things in our field. We need to meet them, transmute them, find ways to transmute them in a balanced, safe, and healthy way. This is something that's never going to end. We're going to go through this for the rest of our lives. We've been through this for as long as we've been alive. Since we incepted into Earth and grew in utero and birthed through the birth canal, we have been going through death and rebirth. It is an inevitable part of life, and it's an inevitable part of discovering what we're truly capable of and our true power.